Praise the Lord, brother. All right, John chapter 9, please. John chapter 9 and verse 4. I'm going to deal with the passage, but I want to take a thought from there. John 9 and verse 4. Jesus makes a statement that in various words, he repeats at least three times in this gospel, John 9, John 11, and John 12. In John 9, 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Romans chapter 13, please, and verse 12. Romans 13 and verse 12. The Apostle Paul said, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. It would seem that in the passages there's a contradiction. In one passage, the Lord says it's day and the night is coming. In the other passage, it's night and the day is coming. The day is at hand. Which is it, day or night? I will submit to you that it's both. It is day, it is night. And I want to share with you in those passages this morning and talk about the differences between the two and make some application in our lives today. Just say amen to God's word. You may be seated. I would like to title this message just that. It is day, it is night. It is day, it is night. John chapter 9, if you return there this morning, I want to go there and talk a little bit about the context in Jesus mentioning this. He mentions three times in his book that this idea that it is day, but night is coming. And what did he mean by that? And let's talk about it and understand. In John chapter 9, we have the scenario, of course, of a man that's been born blind. He's been blind from birth. And as they're walking by and as Jesus is passing by, they're just taking up stones to kill him in John chapter 8. But they're unable to do that. Jesus, he just walks right on by. And as a result of that, his disciples, they see this man that's born blind. And for them, it looks like a difficult, impossible situation. Even this man later himself would declare after his hearing, since from the beginning of the world, it's never been heard. And God opened the eyes of a man born blind. Others that have went blind. He is someone that has never seen the light of day. It's not been heard. And they look at him and say, well, to them, it looks like a situation of hopelessness. How did this come about? Did his mom sin? Did his dad sin? What happened that this came about? But Jesus said, no, that's necessarily the case. It's not the result of the sin of his mom or the sin of his dad. There is a depravity that is in man in the sense of a physical depravity. In Adam, all die. No doubt about it. Death has come to all men, and in Adam, all die. It didn't say that in Adam, all sin. It did say in Adam, all die. But nevertheless, the idea is that here is a man who is in a difficult situation. But to Jesus, that's not a problem. And Jesus states that it's that the works of God may be manifest in him. I don't know that you would say that the Lord himself made this man blind. He made him blind so that he could just heal him. I don't think that that's necessarily the case. That blindness is still there as a result of some deformity that has taken place in the body. There's something went wrong in the gene pool. There's something that went wrong in the nature, in the natural process of reproduction. Something became corrupted. Something became deformed. Something in some way became tainted. And thereby this man is born blind. And as a result of that, but what it did become when is that the works of God might be wrought in him. That man's impossibility becomes God's possibility. And it becomes an opportunity for God to manifest his power. When it becomes hopeless for man, that becomes a time that God can step in and do something great and something mighty and something wonderful. No, it's not the result of his parents specifically. It is the result of a process that has been going on in the corruption of men's bodies and the deterioration of the flesh. But it has also become an opportunity for God to do mighty works. And it's on that occasion that Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And this first idea that he gives to us of the fact that it is night or day, but night is coming, is the idea that the day is a time of opportunity. I've got an opportunity right here. I've got a possibility that something can take place. It's a time of possibility. Oh, glory. I will tell you, in the night, when the night comes, it's all over. When the sun settles on December the 31st of 2013, and we reach the dark hour of the midnight hour, your time for doing something in 2013 is over. It's gone. There are no more possibilities for 2013. You must now look to another time and another year and another day for that possibility. And I want to declare to you this morning that it is day. It is yet day. And there is a time coming when there will be no work. There's a time coming when the gospel will be silenced. There is a time coming in which people will lose their opportunities. There's a time coming when Washington, I believe, is not going to hear the gospel anymore. There's a time coming when darkness is going to fall upon this nation. There's a time coming when the church is going to be raptured out of here, and there will be a cloud that will settle upon the world of evil, and wickedness will have its day during the time and the reign of an Antichrist. But I want you to understand that right now, and for Jesus in this occasion, it is a time of opportunity. For men, all we can do is look around and declare, well, what, this is what happened. Watch it as parents blame it on somebody else. Look to the cross somewhere else, but we've got no solution. We've got no answer. But God has got an answer. And when it's impossible for men, it is possible for God. And I want to declare to you this morning, in 2013, on this last Sunday service that we will have this year, I want to declare to you today that we yet have a little daylight. We still got a time of possibility. We still got a time of opportunity. Don't even look around and say, there's too much death. It's impossible. It's been this way for years. It's not going to change. I say, long as we're here, and the body of Christ, with breath, the peace, the gospel, and the spirit of the living God, what looks hopeless is hopeful in the eyes of the Lord, because it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. No doubt it looked difficult for Zechariah when he had to preach. It was hard work rebuilding the temple. It was hard work rebuilding the wall in Jerusalem for Nehemiah. It was a difficult time. They were small. Their resources were little. What they could put together didn't have the magnificence of Solomon's temple. What we do today may not look as great as it did yesteryears. We may not be able to compare it with some great move of God or what's taking place. The work is difficult. The opposition is mighty. Our group is small, but it doesn't matter. A temple still needs to be built. A building still needs to be made. Walls need to be reconstructed. And with that, God can do yet mighty things, because it's the presence of God that makes a difference in the house. And there are still possibilities that are yet before us. In John chapter 10 or chapter 11. John chapter 11. And the event is the situation with the death of Lazarus. He gets sick and he dies. Sometimes we say, as long as there's breath, there's hope. I'm going to tell you, even when breath is gone, there's still hope. Amen. As long as Jesus. We think, man, if they put him in the graveyard, there ain't no hope. I'm going to tell you, put him in the graveyard, there's still hope. Hallelujah. Long as the Lord's on board your ship, that's all that matters. But in this God chapter, he mentions, if you will, down in verse 9, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Here again, he talks about, I'm walking in the day. Now, what was the occasion? You must understand this. When this statement was made in connection with the statement that was made by one of his disciples in verse 7. Then after that, said his disciples, let's go into Judea again. No, he said to his disciples, let's go into Judea again. And his disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? I mean, he's come out of Jerusalem. They took up stones. You can read about it in chapter 10. It mentions there in verse 31, the Jews took up stones to stone him. There when he's in Jerusalem, they want to kill him. Jesus is laughing now. His friend in Bethany, which you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. Jesus doesn't answer their question directly about the Son of Man, but he told it, you've got some light. It's still daytime. You've got some light, and while you've got it, you need to make the most of it. Amen. You need to give yourself to it and make the most of this opportunity that you have. Here is the time that you've got. You've got a persuasion. You've got some light, mister. When the light is there, you're certain things. They don't need to be asking so much about the Son of Man. I'm telling you, the works of Jesus have been sufficient, even to convince the greatest skeptic. And he is indeed the Son of God that should come, the Messiah that should come into the world. He didn't need to do anything else except the reveal the resurrection of the dead will be accomplished. But there's no other miracles he can perform. There's nothing more he can do in the terms of miracles of messenger to reveal the fact that he is indeed God incarnate, the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. But what I want you to see in this passage is it's this. You've got a little light, you've got a persuasion, you've got a conviction. Walk in that thing, because the time will come when that light will be taken away from you. I want to tell you something. When you've got a conviction, when the Lord deals with you over something, if you don't apply it, if you don't walk in it, you will soon lose that. It'll be taken away from you. And Jesus would soon be taken, and they would not be able to go and ask him and talk to him and see him. He would die and be resurrected, and they would have to come, of course, the way we all come, without the sight. But they had a light that only their age would see. Only that time it was a special time of privilege. I'm telling you, when you've got privilege, my friend, we ought to make the most of it. And you and I have got a privilege in this hour. We have got a privilege and a persuasion. And Jesus is the Son of Man. Let's make the most of it that we have. I don't know about you, but there is this. Sometimes people come and they want you to compromise the gospel. They want you to compromise your belief to somehow appease that world. Please understand this. I am not interested in going backwards. What light has come to me, I intend to walk in it. I'm not interested in trading the light for the darkness. Light has no communion with darkness. They're not together, my friend. No, sir, and I'm not interested in backing up. If you can take me towards a greater state of purity, if you can take me towards a greater state of holiness, if you can bring light on my path, that'll bring more of the power of God. If you can bring light on my path, that'll take me further from the world and get me closer to God. I'll take that light, but don't give me a light that takes me back to where I came from. It makes me do less than what I'm doing now. It gives me something less potent than what I have now. I'm not willing to trade something greater for something that's minute and immaterial. No, sir, if I trade, I want to trade up. I don't like to trade down, I want to trade up, amen. And somewhere, Jesus is letting us know when the daytime is here. It's a time when you live by what you're persuaded by. It's a time you've had privileges. Live by those privileges and persuasions that you have. So that it is day. And being the fact that it is day, it's a time of possibility. It's a time of purpose. It's a time of privilege. And you and I should know that right now, where we are today, living, it is daytime for us. We need not throw our hands up in despair. Jesus had more opposition than we've got right now. I mean, they were ready to stone him, they were plotting against him. He's got one of his own that's going to betray him. They're doing everything. They're having meetings, they're holding councils against him. Anything they can do to take him out. He's just got all kinds of opposition. Look in the natural realm, it looks impossible. Man that's born blind. And I'm telling you, in every one of those situations, Jesus says, it's daytime. I still got a time to work. I'm here, the Father hasn't yet given me the time to go to Calvary. I'm going to work. I'm going to preach. I'm going to share the gospel and see people's lives. I'm going to be transformed. It's a time for me to fulfill my purposes. It's a time for me to exercise privilege. And a time for you to exercise privilege. When you've got the light, walk in it. While the light is with you, do it. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God moves in our church. We ought to make the most of it. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost, be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you can be saved, then be saved today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till next week. Today is the day of salvation. The light is now. And darkness is soon to descend upon this planet. And I'm telling you, you will have the light then. When this world is in the grip of an antichrist, you will not see the light. The governments will not be liberated. There will not be the freedoms of speech that you have now. Take it and exercise it, because night is soon to come. Night is a loss of an opportunity. Night is a time when plans can no longer be fulfilled. And night is a time when privileges are no longer granted. It is day, but night is coming. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Simple message, but I hope you can understand that we must redeem the time. I don't know about you, but I'm looking to do more in 2013-14. I want a greater harvest. Now, I must take this passage, and I want to make the connection. I'm not going to elaborate on the first point. I want to make the connection so you can go back and look at it later. But in Romans 13, the apostle, of course, has given all this exposition of the gospel. He's talked about the privilege we have, the justification, the sanctification, the spiritual life. He's talked about the privilege we have to be grafted in as a wild branch in chapter 10, 11, come and believe on Jesus Christ. And that this privilege has come to the Gentiles. He tells us how that is carried out practically in chapter 12, in love and service unto others. And then in chapter 13, he comes to this business and tells us that that Christian life is also born out in living under our God-ordained authorities. And that the authorities that you and I live under, civil government, it gets its right to govern from God. They have the power to exercise the sword over humanity because God has given them that right. There is no man that has the right to say that I can rule a land or rule over this, and I have the right to exercise authority over this people. and connects it with verse 9. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And he said, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Here he talks about now it is night, but day is coming. It's a whole different perspective. This is the same principles, really, but looking at it from a different angle. And again, three things in the passage, what I want to talk about. First of all, he talks about it's a time for resuscitation. It's a time for us to be made alive and to come alive. I always think this is so amazing when I read this. I'm thinking, you know, here we go, all of these privileges. So, that Paul has announced that he's talked about where we were in our sins in chapter 1 and 2. Then he dealt with the principle about how we can be reconciled to God. And then in chapter 5 of Romans, we see that reconciliation, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ and access into grace wherein we stand. And then in Romans 6 and 7, we have deliverance from sin and deliverance from the law. Not in the sense of morality, but we're not any longer bound to addictions that have come in this body.
Stop it!
is 12, the night is far spent, the days of man, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. It's a time of illumination. Just because it's dark doesn't mean we go into hiding. Just because it's dark doesn't mean that we take on the characteristics of the world and join them in their endeavors and their plans. Just because it's dark doesn't mean we yield to it and give in and say, oh well, there's nothing I can do about it, if it can't be, and then join them. No, I'll tell you what you do. Even though we live in the dark, we're a candle in a house, we're a city on a hill. Let the light shine. Rarely does an actor play himself, but he plays another's part. And although that deed illustration is a point at which it breaks down, because in us we are not actors, and we are not imitators. There's a sense in which we're imitators, but it's beyond that. The actor on the stage, he goes, and he finds the person that he's imitating. He reads about the person. He reads about the character. He reads about how they deal with things, and everything he can learn about that person, their expression, how they handle themselves, how they spoke, how they talk, what they like, what they dislike. Because when he gets on that stage, he wants people to think that that's who he is. But he does it all through study. And it is simply, when it's all said and done, it was only his efforts to imitate that person. That person was still that person. And there was never any real connection there. It was just the observation of one or another in this man's effort. And that's where it breaks down for us. Yes, we are here in a sense as imitators of Christ. We want the world not to see us, but we want them to see Christ. Even if that actor did not want them to see him or his personality, but the personality of the person that he was portraying. And you and I want the personality of Christ to come through us. But it doesn't come by imitation. It comes by emulation. It doesn't come by me just reading about Jesus and trying my best to act like he acts. It comes by me getting Jesus in me through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that life that's in me, I let it flow. I let the Spirit have his way. I let the fruit come to the front. And then people can see, because I'm wishing for the Spirit and I'm submitting myself to the rule of Jesus Christ. And his presence in me makes a difference. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's ever a verse that shames, or I should say contradicts this idea that religion should be privatized, it's this verse. You know, when you put something on, you put it on, and that's what's going to be seen. If I put on, I don't care what I've got underneath, I can put on my suit, I can put on my pants and my shirt, but if I put on an overcoat, over all of that, you will see the overcoat. In other words, it becomes the most visible thing about you. And when you put on Jesus Christ, the most visible thing about you is the influence of Christ in your life. The greatest thing about your life, what we should see, is how Christ has made a difference in you. Woo, glory! Put on Jesus Christ. It does mean I must learn. I must study about him. But when I apply it, it's not done by my energy. It's done by the power of the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, write this in me. Holy Spirit, change me into the image of Jesus Christ. Transform me into his glory, from glory unto glory. Let me put on Jesus Christ. It is a time of emulation. Yes, we're in the dark place, but show them Jesus anyway. Hallelujah. Because that's the King that's coming in the day that is approaching. And then he said, and find my clothes, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Make not provision for the flesh. The word provision here comes from the word side of providence, forethought. In other words, I could say it this way. Don't make any plans to gratify your flesh. That's what people do in the world all week long. They make their paycheck, they earn it. I don't really care about pleasing the boss. I don't care about honoring God. They care about getting money so when that weekend rolls around, they can gratify the flesh. And their whole life, and the only thing that keeps them going is the thought of a cold beer on Saturday or Sunday or Friday night. The only thing that keeps them going is the thought of spending themselves in some pleasure on the weekend. That becomes the chief thing because they're given forethought, providential care to make sure that that flesh in the future is going to be gratified. We're not here to give providential care to the body. If we lose the body, we lose it. We're gone, we're going. We care for that inward man, and our providential care and our forethought and our plans are all made to cultivate that inward man and make sure that he is strong in doing the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a time for us to emulate Jesus Christ. Put him on. We're not here to make provision for the flesh. We're here to give glory to Jesus Christ and live for his honor. Stand to your feet this morning. It's day. The night is coming. It's day. It's a time of possibility. It's a time of purpose. It's a time of privilege. Night is coming when the possibility will be gone. The plan cannot be fulfilled, and the privilege cannot be had. And it's also night, and the day is coming. Darkness is upon the planet, but a bright light is soon to come upon this earth. Hallelujah. So what do? We resuscitate, we come alive. We're alert, and we're watchful. What do? We illuminate, and we show people what it's like to live under the government of Jesus Christ. If you can get that in you, if you can get that in you, before pointing the finger to someone about their deficiencies, make certain that you are an example to them in your life. If all I can do is point out your faults, but I can't show you, through example, a way to a higher ground, I have done nothing for you. I have not helped you. But let me, if I have to point out a fault, let me show you the way to overcome it. Let us live a life of illumination, so that if we show and reveal the infidelity of the world, make sure there's fidelity in your house. Hello. And it's time for us to emulate Christ. The night here is a time of emulation. It's not a time for us to privatize our religion. It's time for us to reveal to this world the Lord Jesus Christ has made a difference in our lives. So be it. We emulate that man from Galilee. And we're not just people trying to act like Jesus. We're not just trying to do what Jesus would do. Jesus is living in us. The life we live with the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. Oh, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Oh, Christ is in us, my faith. He dwells in our hearts, my faith. He is in us, the hope of glory. I'm telling you, this is a reality. This is not just a religion where we're trying to be like a historical figure. No, I'm telling you, he lives, he rose from the dead. And by the Holy Ghost, he lives in my life. I'm telling you, Jesus talks to me, he walks with me. He makes the difference, he reveals himself to me. And he shows me how I should live. And by spirit, as I behold him, we're being transformed into the same image. Tonight. And the day is coming. Yes. And the King is going to be Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads, Father? In the name of Jesus, I come to you right now. Lord, it's night. And the day is coming. It's night, Lord, and the day is at hand. I feel it, God. Our salvation is at hand. It's nearer than when we believed. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. And Lord, also it is day, and the night is approaching. And I pray, God, help us to make the most of the opportunities that we have, to satisfy and fulfill the plans and the exercise, the privileges, and live by what we have. Lord, I know there's been failure, but you can help us to rise above the failure. You can help us, Lord, to raise the bar and the standard so that we can again become what we need to become. Lord, I'm asking you today, now that you will stretch your hand out across this congregation and minister to those that are here. And Lord, call them to this purpose to see that it's day and the night's coming, and yet it's night and the day is coming. We will see our purpose and see, Lord, what you want to do in us in this hour. And I give you thanks and praise. Hallelujah. I want us to pray this morning. I'm going to ask you today to come for a moment and gather in this altar. I'm going to ask if they would today. I'm going to ask them if they'll bring Shelby up here to the front. And I want us to gather around her and pray for her this morning.